if I can sort of dovetail on that line, what we've had so far is what was before the foundation of the world. We've had Christ as the prime mover in that I will build my church. We've had the various ways the New Testament illustrates for us this entity, the body, the house, the flock, and so on. Perhaps in order to understand how we move to the point of being functional is if we can have some discussion about purpose. Because I think what happens is I think John's point about getting it in our hearts, the affection and the motivation behind God, developing and bringing this into being, he also gives us purposes for which he has assembled this company. And I think once we understand and appreciate its origin as we've had, I trust the Lord has helped us all to really appreciate something that was in God's heart before the foundation of the world, something that Christ is actively engaged in building. It has these two facets of which we have been speaking of. If we can get some commentary on purpose, and I think that would be the perfect bridge to moving to understanding why we all should be functioning.
I can give you a negative answer. The purpose of being active for the Lord is never to call attention to myself, but to call attention to Him. And if I keep that in mind, the Lord delights when we serve Him in the gifts that He has given us, but not to me to be boastful or to say, well, look at all I'm doing for the Lord, and here you're just sitting here. Some foolish thought like that. We don't express it, but sometimes we think of that. But every believer has something that he can bring before the Lord and that he can use for his glory. We all have a gift or many gifts. It doesn't matter what they are. You don't have to be a public speaker. You don't have to do a lot of things, but you can, whatever you can do for the Lord, you should be doing it. And if we look at these early believers here in Acts, I'm positive they weren't a large number, but each one did what he could, what gift he had, and used it for the Lord's glory. And that is something that should stir me up, not to call attention to myself, but to call attention to the Lord Jesus, whom you love and I love, and to praise Him and to serve Him. Being saved is not the end. You know, many people sit back and say, well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. That's wonderful. But it's the beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning of a new life that looks to the Lord to guide and direct and then serves Him as long as we're in this scene. As long as we have a clear mind, as long as we are in this scene, we should desire to use our gifts for Him.
As to a statement of purpose, how about Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21? As one suggestion. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, and this verse, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus.
We go back to Ephesians chapter 1 as well. We might say this for younger ones. The book of Ephesians is, the theme of Ephesians is the church or the assembly. And in chapter 1, he says, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that. This is in order that. This is a purpose clause. In order that we should be holy. So the reason he chose us is that we might be separate. The word holy means to be separate. Separated. Not sinless. He wants sinless lives, but that's not the idea in the word holy. The idea of holy means to be set apart. Out from and unto. Holy, without blame, before Him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable or accepted in the beloved. And so we have the purpose of holy, without blame, and to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Looking at purpose, maybe we can see it somewhat of a type going back in Genesis with the first woman. The Lord God said that it's not good for man to be alone. I think there we can use in type that God wanted a relationship for the Lord Jesus. And then after he begins to create, and then he says that, but there was no helpmeet for Adam. That even though in all creation, even though in religion or Judaism, there was nothing that was suitable in companionship to the man, to the Lord Jesus. And coming back to what our brother was saying, then when the woman was formed, Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from man. She is to enhance man. As our brother was saying, that all of the assembly, not just individual, I'm saying, the whole collective body, is to bring the features of Christ and enhance that in this world that it is displayed. Even Paul could say, we are born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So it starts there with purpose, bringing what our brother said earlier about affections. If I don't see that this is a gift of from God to Christ, and that we are here for a purpose, that we would display the features of him, then and only then can I go into the bridges our brother Mark brought out of function. I have to start, why was the church formed and created for?